And when it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so much to say, great things to say. He has things to teach his people. He loves his people. He always have. He's devoted to his people. He's devoted to helping you win in this life. One scripture in Proverbs said, if a man be wise, he's wise for himself. The Lord is here to help you in your quest for life. The Lord made us in his image. Many, many millions of years ago, the Lord, in the beginning of his way, see, the Lord always was. He was light. He was righteousness. But in the beginning of his way, he chose the way of wisdom. That's another scripture in Proverbs that in Proverbs chapter 8, it gives us a clue that in the beginning of his way, he chose something and he rejected something. Now, there was no such thing as sin. But the Lord chose the way of wisdom, the way of love, the way of holiness. He chose to be that way. And he developed. When you look at the night sky, you see all the stars. That's the handiwork of the Lord. And did you know that Jesus did all that? In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was God. And the Word of God is Jesus. And he became a man. Everything that you see, Jesus did it. And the scientists like to think that it happened by itself. God did that. Jesus did that. The one who became a man did all that. Every star you see is a sun somewhere with planets around it. That's the handiwork of God. He's been at it a long time. And I thank the Lord for it. This is just one of the many that he made. He's helping you in your quest for life. Just like he decided the right things in his quest for life. As you go forward in this life, what happens to your life is a result of your decisions. But you can build your life by faith. And your life can be stolen by doubt, by wrong teaching, by wrong believing, by misunderstanding, misinformation. Your very life can be stolen. The things that you want to do in your life can be taken from you if you yield to the wrong information. We're still dealing with end times. But the Lord had, in this chapter of end times, we've been doing end times for a whole year now. A little over a year. But we've done different chapters. You can go back on the internet and read. Now, use the tools that God has provided. New Living Letters is not just an ordinary website. It is a website designed by the Holy Spirit to help his people learn his word. Every broadcast, I'm putting it on the internet. And eventually, I'm going to go back and catch up. I got about 3 years worth of information to add to it. And it takes a while to do it. But I'm putting every broadcast that you hear on the radio on the website. And the Lord instructed me, each file can be up to 30 minutes. So every broadcast is actually 30 minutes. 15 minutes will play on the radio. Until I can receive more money, I'm dealing with a 15-minute slot on the radio. But when you go to the website, there's 30 minutes worth of teaching in each broadcast. I started this a few weeks ago. The Lord told me to do it. And each file is always a little bit longer than 15 minutes. But now it's 30 minutes longer. I mean, it's 30 minutes, the whole file, 28 to 30 minutes. So when you go on that website, The radio broadcast is labeled LLM. That's for Living Letter Ministries. And then the first air date that it aired, that's how it's labeled. It's not, there are no titles on there, just dates. And also you can listen to the Sunday school lesson. Other teachers are on it. And it's there to be a blessing. And then that's on the audio page. And then on the Living Letters page, there are writings. Use what God has given. And all of this is absolutely free. And you can email a link to your or text message a link to your friends in Chicago somewhere, or in Iraq. If you know anybody, any soldiers in the other part of the world, or anybody anywhere, they can always go to newlivingletters.com. newlivingletters.com. And those who want to give, you can send proceeds to Living Letter Ministries, 300 Mulberry Road, Birmingham, Alabama, 35214. All ministry costs money, and it's a blessing when people give, and I thank God for anyone that will give. Now, continuing, the Lord wants to do many things, and he has to use his people. He will help you live as you, the quest of your own life, he'll help you do it. When we live, we're not just living for God, we're also trying to develop so that we can do the things that he put in our hearts to do. Things that the real us, you know, the Lord is interested in giving you your individual uniqueness back. Sin will steal your life. All forms of sin takes you off the path of that true quest of life that you really desire to know about. Some people think they can't have it. Some people think that they'll never do what they really want to do. Some people think, well, I won't live long enough to do that. If you get saved, you're going to live forever. And in this life, you can isolate some things you want to accomplish before, during your life, before you die. And you can leave a true legacy just like God does. People do all kind of amazing things in their lives. But there are so many distractions. And the Word of God will help you eliminate them. Now, when it comes to God's business, when it comes to the Word of God, last week we were studying 2 Peter chapter 2. And Peter showed how the Word of God came not by the will of man, but by holy men of God. Let me back up a little bit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now watch verse 18. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. And they heard the voice of the Lord say, this is my beloved Son, believe him." Verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." He's talking about the Word of God. They were on the mount, and they heard the Lord say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophets came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." This is the essence of life. This is the heart of God's Word. This is the spirit of God's Word to give you life. And you have to study it in order for you to grow and then build your life according to the Word of God and the true quest that God has given you. There are some problems you desire to solve in this life. My mother was a school teacher, and she was passionate about it. And she made sure every student in her class could read well and comprehend. She always did that. She made sure that all of her students achieved. And all of my adult life people, you know, that knew me or heard of me and knew and were taught by my mom, they would always brag on them. The Lord can help you do the same thing in your life. The Lord can help you to do the greater things in this life. But sin, bad information, wrong teaching distract you. It's like being in darkness. Without the Word of God to light your path, it's hard. You can get in a rut that you never could get out of on your own. It takes a greater education to get out of this rut. Now, chapter 2 he's talking about the plan of Satan. Remember, we're talking about tares sown among the wheat. So, you know, you can't just learn how to live and have faith for the quest in your life that you're after. You have to learn enough to combat Satan and his tactics and his deceived puppets, people that trust him. Verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people. And it was always this way. The tares weren't just sown among the wheat in the New Testament age. It was that way from the beginning. Cain killed Abel. There were always tares. There are always people that love the world more than God. There were always people that were corrupt. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Some of these false prophets used to believe on Jesus, and they erred. They took a turn. And in the parable of the sower, Jesus shows us why. Some people were so hard-hearted that the enemy stole the word and they went and they never got saved. Some were sown among stony ground. They never let the word take root in them. And when they were challenged by Satan, they folded. And they don't just fold and go away. They do things. They speak what they believe. God wasn't real to them, or God should have did something about their problem. Now they're mad at him. And then they don't quit teaching. Their conversation is wrong. And the people and everybody has influence, whether they're saints or sinners, whether they're wheat or tares. Everybody has great influence because you're made in the created image of God. So your influence is based on what's in your heart. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit. It's impossible. So neither the influence of people and their fruit. This is very important because when you study and learn God's ways, if you have children one day, it's not just what you teach them, it's the way you live in front of them. They pick up what you are. Everything you do is recorded. Everything is recorded. Why? Because people have memories. They can see, they can judge, they can know, and they know what you do. If you say a person's name, if they're not reliable, they'll say, why don't you get so-and-so? Why don't you get Joe to do it? And you can tell by the expression on their face. Their memory of Joe was not a diligent person. Just using Joe for an example. I don't know Joe. I mean, but it you can tell they don't want to fool with Joe. I'm getting marked. Joe's lazy. Why do they know that? Because they were around him and they saw him fail people. Everything you do is recorded, good and bad, bad and good. They know where your strengths are and your weaknesses. But false teaching is there to derail you. And you don't want to be the kind of person that teach the wrong thing, because then you got to give an account for it. But when you do the true things, you get rewarded for it. Continuing. Verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. See there, that influence is great. Many will listen to the wrong thing. So if you want to pull off the vision of your life, you're going to have to study chapters of God's word, books. The Lord, he taught me, he said, I used to study scriptures. If you just study scriptures, anything, almost anything goes, because people teach scriptures wrong. And your life will be partly strong and partly weak, like the end time nations. You don't want your life to be iron and clay. You want it to be iron. You want it to be strong. You want it to be valuable. The only way to do it is, the Lord said to me, I want you to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. And as I did that, I started to see more of him. And his word got in my heart. It grew deeper roots. And the struggles of this life became easy. You hear me? The struggles of this life became easy. I could see things from a God's eye view. And it was better. Now, when you have a word base in your heart, the Lord has something to work with. And I was able to relate what he said. He started talking to me after about 3 months of reading those 15 chapters. And I said, Lord, I don't want you to go nowhere. I want you to teach me. I want you, don't go nowhere. Teach me. I got questions I want to ask you. And I was strong enough in him to ask the questions. And then when he spoke to me, I was able to believe what he said. In that, when the Lord do speak to you and relate things to you, you can't just hear it and forget about it. You have to believe it by your faith, based on the word of God. You can tell that it's word-based, and you receive it with faith. You mix it. Everything you learn from the Lord, you mix it with faith. You believe it by your faith, and you receive it, and it becomes who it gets in your heart, and then you speak it with your mouth. It becomes part of you. The word of God becomes part of you. Faith is part of you too. Habakkuk said, the just shall live by his faith. And the Lord explained, faith becomes part of who you are. You know, just like my leg, my arm, my heart, my faith. The just shall live by his faith. The word gets in you, you make it part of who you are. As the Lord learned these things, he made it part of who he is. And the word came from God's heart. It's part of him. His word is him. His word is in us. His word can become part of us. And we speak it with our faith. It becomes part of our being. And there's nothing on this planet stronger than your faith if you believe God's word. But the enemy has sown false teachers among God's people. And when people believe false teaching, it takes a lot of God's word. It takes knowing God's word in a rightly divided way, the way God meant it and the way God intended it to be. It takes knowing that to refute it. If you learn God's word in the first place, the promises of God are easily attained to you. You just have to do the works. You can't be lazy. You got to do what's right. But it's easy. It's life. And it's easy to conquer Satan. In the Sunday school class, I taught that there are two battles. The easy fight is rebuking Satan. That's the easy battle. Stopping Satan in his track, that's easy. That's a cakewalk. But the main battle is in the heart, in your being. Jesus won the battle of the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying and he was being strengthened by the Lord. He became part of God's will. First he said, Lord, take this cup from me. And then he said, not my will, thy will be done. And every time he said it, his resolve got stronger. He was showing us how to win. He was preparing himself to conquer the most difficult battle he ever had to face, redeeming mankind. And he did it as a man. Understand that. Jesus did this as a man. There was nothing more difficult that he ever did than that. And he did it. He didn't fail. And people still don't know whether they want to be saved or not. And they don't know these things. And the devil's tricking people. But you can win your battles in your prayer room, in your war room. When you go and pray and you confess, I'm gonna do everything God's way. I'm gonna do the word of God, and I will not compromise. Then in life it'll be true. Because you're applying God's word by your faith. And the enemy won't know how to tempt you. You can rebuke every temptation he throw at you. And you can live before your children, before your audience, and the people that you, especially if you're a school teacher, you can be that teacher that caused the children to set an anchor out in the Lord. You can help those who struggle to read. You can teach them how to read like my mama did. Many were taught by Maudetta Hamby, and they knew. They know what I'm talking about. She made sure that every student learned. If you were one of her students, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, continuing in chapter 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feign words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be served, to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Sin don't work. God getting rid of it. And people say, well, once saved, always saved. You know, if you're in Christ, you always be in Christ. That's not true. If you want to be in Christ, you can. If you want to do these things, you can. If you don't want to do these things, you can. You don't have to. You can go back to the world if you really want to. God won't stop you, because the kingdom of God is it's like a volunteer army. People are there by invitation. And some were created in righteousness and never fail. There are some kingdoms that God made, they never would yield to Satan's temptation. And they did right. And they stayed holy. They didn't do like Adam did. Some of them, the enemy don't even know how to tempt them. But on earth, we're the only creation that I know of that seeks God out of darkness. The Lord learned truth, and there was no light. He was the light. And he developed just like we do. we have to develop. And the enemy is trying to stifle our development. He sown tares among the wheat, false teachers. And the Lord will judge what's wrong. Now, the mindset of those who go the way of the world are totally opposite from the heart of God. And being Christians with a brand new heart, we have to fit it with God's word in order to live like he intended us to. In order for us to walk out our vision and the quest that God put in our heart. But the things that's wrong try to take it away from you. Verse 8. For that righteous man, well, verse 7. After he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations, and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. This is the mindset of false prophets that have hardened themselves against God. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin because they're trapped, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. They're cursed. Their life is a curse and their influence is a curse. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way, which they used to know, and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Balaam was a false, he was a true prophet. Then he went rogue and became a false prophet. And he loved the money of King Balak more than the love of God. And the angel was going to kill him, but the donkey spoke to him. You can read about it in in Numbers. Verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest